morning. Morning. Pastor Sam is away at the EG retreat right now, so I have the opportunity to teach. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. They love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues, and respectful greetings in the marketplaces, and being called rabbi by men. But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. Do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people, for you do not enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense you make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel around on sea and land and make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple is obligated. You fools and blind men, which is more important, the gold or the temple that sacrificed the gold, or that sanctified the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the offering on it, he is obligated. You blind men, which is more important, the offering or the altar that sanctified the offering? Therefore, whoever swears by the altar swears both by the altar and by everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears both by the temple and by him who dwells within it. And whoever swears by heaven swears both by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others, you blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had been living in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partners with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you are the sons of those who murder the prophets. Fill up then the measure of the guilt of your fathers. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how will you escape the sentence of hell? Therefore, behold, I am sending you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, so that upon you may fall the guilt of all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Truly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you that you are here, God, and that you want to teach us. Holy Spirit, you are the one that teaches us. And we pray, God, that you will speak through me. Speak your words and your teachings through me, Father, so that we'll learn from you. And we just want to open up ourselves to hear from you, God. We thank you and pray that you reveal yourself to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So from Matthew chapter 21 to 22, he enters Jerusalem. And you can see Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, and he's basically is calling them hypocrites, but he's doing it through parables. In chapter 21 and 22, he's giving them the parable of the two sons and the landowner and the marriage feast. And he's telling the Pharisees that they're not doing what is right, and that they are not accepting, you know, the salvation, the Messiah that has come to them. And in chapter 23, it's a direct assault on the Pharisees. He's not telling them through parables anymore. He's telling them direct that they're hypocrites and that they're Pharisees, that they're not doing what is correct, and that they are falling away from what God has made available to them, which is salvation. And I think this is a good passage for our church, because we're going through this fast. We're doing this 21, 36, 40-day fast. And we can very easily make it something, you know, that we can gain men's praise out of. So it's a good passage for us. And however the Holy Spirit speaks to you about your own self-righteousness or hypocrisy, I encourage you to go to God and just deal with it. You can see in the beginning, from verse 1 to 12, he's talking to the crowd about the Pharisees and about what they do. And it says, therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. And he's saying that because the scribes and the Pharisees, they were teachers of the law. And when they were teaching, they taught out of the scriptures. They didn't make up their own things. They taught the scripture. They taught the law of Moses. But it says here, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. So basically, they were saying all these good things about the law of Moses and saying the right things, teaching the right things, but they were not doing them. So Jesus is saying, but do not do according to their deeds. Instead, what they were doing was they were tying up heavy burdens and laying them on men's shoulders. So they were making up their traditions and just different traditions and laws of their own to just add burden to the people that were trying to come to God. So Jesus is saying, don't do what they're doing, but what they tell you to do, which is the law, which is actually life-giving and which can set us free. So do according to what they tell you, but don't do what they are doing. And I thought it was interesting where it says, they love to be called rabbis, they love to be called father, they love to be called teachers. And when he says, do not call anyone on earth your father, he's not saying literally, do not call anyone on your father, on earth your father. But he's saying, because the Pharisees loved being called father, they loved being in this place of leadership and in this place of, I guess, authority and power. And God's saying, don't do that, because your only teacher is God, and your only father is God, and your only leader is himself, Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but for me, I think just becoming youth pastor here, and even being called Pastor Nate sometimes can get to me. I can be like, oh yeah, I can kind of like the title, Pastor Nate. But it's something I really need to watch, because I know that the Holy Spirit is the only teacher that can teach through me. If he's going to do anything, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to do it. And if I can be a father to the kids, it's only through God, and he's the real father, and I can just be a representative to them of God. And same thing, leader. Jesus Christ is our leader. And if you're new to church, if you're new to Christianity, it might not be applicable to you so much, but for us that have been here a while, leaders and people in authority, we might be very tempted to really like the title and think that we're all that, and expect people to respect us or listen to us or whatever. We need to realize that Jesus Christ is our leader and humble ourselves, as it says, for then we can truly be exalted. God's going to exalt us when we humble ourselves. And then he goes into, and then he speaks directly to the Pharisees. He's giving them, warnings and just telling them things that they're doing wrong. And, you know, the world and myself, you know, pictures Jesus as this nice, you know, kind person. But if you look at this passage, you know, Jesus is nothing close to being nice to the Pharisees. He's really telling them straight up what they're doing and just giving it to them. And he calls them sons of hell, and he tells them fools and blind guides. So he's just telling them what they're doing wrong. I want to call our attention to verse 23. It says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others." And dill and mint and cumin, they're spices, and they're tiny little seeds. So what they were doing is they were measuring meticulously to tithe 10% of these spices and these tiny little seeds. But what they forgot completely was mercy and justice and having compassion on the people. You can see in verse 14, they were devouring widows' houses. And they forgot the things that really mattered to God, having justice and showing mercy to people. Instead, they were focusing on, you know, the letter of the law. And in this time of fasting, we can be so legalistic. You know, we can say, oh, we can't have this soup because it has too many solids in it, or whatever. We can't have this drink. We can't do this and that. But if we forget justice and mercy and being faithful to God, that's not going to mean a lot to God. He's going to call us blind guides. And so we need to really make sure that during this time of fasting, even as Isaiah 58 told us, that we focus on, you know, people that are in need of help and in need of love, and really go out to them with compassion, with heart of God, because that's where God's heart is, at not being legalistic with the little things. And not that that's not important, because it says you should have done the justice and the mercy without neglecting tithing. So that's important as well, but we need to focus more on the weightier things, the bigger things that matter more to God. And also, verse 29, where it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had been living in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partners with them, shedding the blood of the prophets." So the Pharisees, they built monuments and things to honor the prophets of the Old Testament. And they said things like, oh, if we had been alive in that time, we would not have done these things. And we can so easily do that as well, I think. If we look at mistakes of the past, we can say, oh, you know, we can be appalled at what they did, and we can say, we would never do things like that. But if we look at ourselves honestly, you know, we could probably very easily fall into the same sort of mistakes that these people fell into. So we need to really be humble and not say things like, oh, you know, not point fingers to our fathers and say they did all these things that were messed up, but we're not going to do them. Instead, we need to stay humble and just rely on God. And, you know, it's only by the mercy of God that we stand, as Pastor Sam has mentioned. So we need to watch out for that. And lastly, verse 37, God, this is God's heart. And even though he's rebuking, he's pronouncing judgment upon these people, because God is also a God of justice, the hand of mercy might be taken away if we're not willing to accept it. And he's pronouncing the judgment, but he's telling us his heart. You know, he's saying, how often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. And this is what God's saying to us, you know. But we need to be willing to come to God. We need to be willing to come before God with repentance and to receive Jesus. I don't know. I can't understand why the Pharisees did not receive Jesus as their Savior. But maybe, yeah. But let's pray and hope. You know, let's pray. We need to pray that we will not miss it when God's telling us something, when God is revealing himself to us and maybe convicting us of something or telling us to repent or turn around and return to him. We need to really make sure that we're not rejecting him, that we're not hypocrites, but that we return to God and come before him as willing children to be accepted into the arms of our Father, so that we can receive his mercy. So, let's close our eyes and let's pray for ourselves. Let's really go before God and ask him if there are things you are legalistic about or you feel self-righteous about, and if in any area of your life you're being a hypocrite. Let's just go before God, let the Holy Spirit reveal them to you, and let's spend some time repenting and returning to God, and let's really pray that during this time of fasting, we will not just focus on, you know, things of, you know, like being legalistic and what we can do and what we cannot do, but things that matter to God, like justice and mercy and bringing compassion to the people that are in need. So let's go before God and pray for those things right now. Let's also pray for ourselves that we'll be God-centered and outward-focused in 2007. I think our vision for the church is to be more outward-focused, to reach out more. So let's pray for ourselves individually that we'll be God-centered and that we will be focused on reaching out, not just receiving all the time. Let's lift up our brothers and sisters at the SPEG retreat. We have Pastor Sam is the teacher, and then we have Pastor Sam Kim and Charles, Marsha and Tracy. So a small group. But let's really pray that they'll experience God, that they'll receive gifts of the Holy Spirit, that it'll just be a fantastic time for them. So let's really lift them up, because God's going to move in response to our prayers for them. So let's pray for them right now. Dear God, thank you, Lord. Let's also pray for the launch of the 11 a.m. service, that God will bring new families that God has prepared to us, and for the leaders and for everyone to prepare and to be diligent and to be able to do everything on time and well, and for more servants, for God to give us more servants, and for people in SP to step up to serve with joy. So let's pray for the 11 o'clock service. Let's pray for our members, Charles Hahn. Let's pray for him to deepen his relationship and walk with God so that he can be a stronger influence on his peers, be able to witness effectively within the workplace and his industry, to exemplify Christianity to the fullest, to continue to deepen his relationship with his family members as well as continuing their growth spiritually, particularly his brother, his wife, his brother and his wife and his dad, and to make some key breakthroughs in his father's business and show his goodness while shedding light upon his father's business, and pray that God will continue to be with him at work while making discerning decisions on new opportunities that may arise. And he's also at the EG retreat, so let's pray for him. Let's pray for Tracy. She's also at the EG retreat. Let's pray for her family's salvation, especially for God to soften her father's heart. For her cousin Joanne, who has bowel cancer and is undergoing chemo and radiation therapy. She's only 32, just got married last year. So let's pray for her strength, faithfulness, and also for God to enable her to have children after her recovery, despite the damage that chemo and radiation will do to reproductive organs. Pray for improvement in her brother's condition. Pray for fewer anxieties, maturity, ability to have meaningful friendships, and better focus, concentration at school. Her family's health, for God to end her family's history of depression, cancer, high blood pressure, diabetes, and autism. For her for steadfastness and continuous devotion to God during this period, especially as she travels for business in Europe towards the end of the fast. And more clarity in identifying God's calling for her. Let's pray for more courage and wisdom and assertiveness to take business risks. So let's lift up Tracy. Let's also pray for Marsha, who's also at the EG retreat, that this fast will give her new insight on her spiritual relationship with God, and so that it will help her grow deeper in his relationship with him. Pray for an amazing breakthrough to occur. Pray for her family, that they will be influenced by her spiritual growth. Pray for her mother to convert, for her eldest sister to learn to love herself and protection from the enemy, and for her salvation. For her, and for second sister to find her way to the Lord through my influence and her husband. For her brother to be less stubborn and come back to God. And for her father to grow spiritually and truly understand the meaning of being saved. Let's pray that this year will be a year of miracles in her career, that God will lead her in the right direction with performing and acting, that he will help to strengthen her weaknesses and help her grow in faith for confidence and positive outlook, that he will use her to do great things in the entertainment business. So let's lift up Marsha. Dear God, thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you for giving us this time and opportunity to come and pray for the church and pray for our members. And we thank you for your word. I pray, God, that we would really humble ourselves and that we will not be hypocritical or legalistic or just religious, Father, in our faith and in our walk with you, God, but that we will just be so in love with you that the one commandment, you know, that we do observe, God, is to love you, God, with all our heart and strength and mind and soul, and that we will love one another, God, and the people of, you know, just that we will love people, God, as you love us, God. And I just pray that you would continue to strengthen those that are fasting and coming out to you in the mornings and really answer our prayers, God, and meet with us and help us to really experience you here. And also for the EG retreat, I pray that you will come in your love, in your goodness, in your power, God, and help them to really experience you. And I pray just for your spirit to move in that place in the name of Jesus. And we thank you so much just for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.